Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We're in the book of Malachi, and we've called this series of episodes in this book, we've called it Questioning God. And what we're finding in this chapter, at least, John, is God's doing most of the questioning.
God has some serious questions for them, for sure.
And he has pointed out the problem, and the problem really is a problem with their heart and their attitude. But he's pointed back to the Levites to say it's not always been this way. You know, there was a day in which you were operating in the sweet spot. You were walking in you were walking with me. You were living in the reality of the covenant that I made with you. You were fearing my name. You were seeking knowledge and seeking to give that knowledge as a message to my people. So he's reminding them that they can get back to where they once were. And maybe that's where some of you listeners are today. Maybe you just need to get back to where you once were. You know what it was to enjoy the blessings of God. But today, we're in Malachi chapter 2, and we're in verses 8 and 9. So let me read them, John, and we'll just jump right into it. But ye are departed out of the way. So he's just praised them for their past. But now he comes back to the present and says, but ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Wow, there is such a mouthful in these two verses. But let's just dive right into it, John. Ye are departed out of the way.
I think what a sad explanation of where they're at right now in their life. Because these men would have known the law of God. They would have known the words of Scripture. And yet, somewhere along the way, what God wanted in their life was no longer a priority to them. But they walked in ways that were not of God. And so this is not a problem of knowledge on their part as much as a problem of obedience.
And I'm glad that you brought that part out, John, because a lot of times in life when we find ourselves on the wrong road, to use the metaphor that's being used in the passage here, we give ourselves a little bit of an out. Like, well, I just got lost. Just kind of lost my way. But God is not allowing that wiggle room here. He said, no, you departed. You departed. That's volitional. Yes. You made a decision. Hey, you saw the road sign. You saw what the exit said. You knew exactly what you were doing. You turned the steering wheel. You got off the road. Okay, and I'm here to tell you, I know that.
Yes, it is. That is very true, Pastor. Good thought about it. This is something they decided to do. It wasn't just something that happenstance. This was a decision of their will, very forceful language that God used to show them their error.
And it's interesting how God describes our journey as a way, a path. Earlier in the chapter, a couple episodes ago, we talked about laying your heart to the road. You're considering your ways, the path of the just. The Bible talks about, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So you've departed out of the way. You've made a purposeful veering at a strategic fork in the road.
Yeah, and again, you know, it wasn't always true, but now it is true in their life. And, you know, and God is, when God gave them the history about themselves, it was not God just reminiscing, oh, the good old days, they're past now. And sometimes we get that mentality, oh, the good old days, they're gone now, it'll never be good again. That's not what God's doing. God is showing them where they were and where they are, but where they are so they will get back where they need to be. And right. God has a great heart for them to do that.
Right. Yeah, no, that's right. He's giving them the directions to get back on that road. But when you're on the wrong road, especially as a leader, especially as one who's been vested with the responsibility of helping others to understand the directions, to understand the Word of God, then you're doubly accountable because you're accountable not only for your own decisions, but now you're accountable for those that are following your leadership. Because the Bible says here in verse 8, ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. So again, the metaphor of walking on a way. So what you've done is you've brought people onto a stony path.
Yes.
Onto a perilous path, and they're tripping, they're stumbling. And every one of those broken bones, every one of those skinned knees, you're responsible for that.
You know, it goes back to what you said a few episodes ago about being a teacher and how that, you know, if you're a teacher, you're responsible for what you teach and you'll be held accountable for that. And these priests who didn't know the law of God, they had the law of God. When they departed from that, they did cause many people to stumble. And I think of many people, even in Christianity, where it's possible when a leader goes awry, that it does cause other people to fail in their Christian walk. Now, it ought not, but it often does because the way human nature is.
The root of bitterness, although it can begin with one person, will defile many. We cannot separate ourselves from the influence of our leadership decisions. We see a dad get disgruntled and leave a church, or a mom become embittered by some wrong that was done to her, and then children that suffer because they're following, and they now stumble because of the departure of that leader.
Right. And, you know, I think about two wrongs that are committed whenever a leader decides to stop following truth. Not only does he not follow the truth and lose the opportunity to teach people the right way, but now he actually leads them in the wrong way. You're not neutral. You're either leading people for the betterment toward Christ, or you're causing them to go away from Christ.
There's no neutral ground. So you cause others to stumble, but then God adds a second result of departing out of the way. So you caused many to stumble at the law, but then the Bible says, ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord.
Yeah, you know, this covenant that God had made with Levi, and we saw it talked about it earlier in the last episode, you know, this was a great promise from God to the Levites. And yet, because they were unfaithful, they did great injustice and great disservice to God, but that disservice to God did have repercussions in their own lives.
I gave you this great promise. I gave you this great deal. Remember, you guys were the separated ones. You were the scattered ones. You didn't have the blessings of other tribes. But I made this covenant with you to say, I'm going to use you in a great way in and among the tribes. And you're taking this gift I've given you by my goodness and grace, and you're corrupting it.
You know, I think when God made that covenant, when he made the promises back to Levi, he told them that they would not have a portion, but he would be their portion.
Right.
And what a thought that is, he would be their portion, and they left their portion.
Yes. Yes. That's a sobering thought for sure. Look at the way it says it in verse 9. If you're following along, we're in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 9, where the Bible says, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people. So to put it into its larger context, John, God had said about the priests, you've made the service of me contemptible. You've made the table of the Lord contemptible, something to be despised, where people have no heart to serve me anymore. And the attitude of the people is reflective of your poor leadership. So therefore, I'm going to make you contemptible in the eyes of the people. They're not going to respect you.
Yeah, and that is a sad scenario, and it always is true with authority. When people don't regard their authority properly, it is going to have repercussions on how the people that they are supposed to lead view them.
That's exactly right. Ultimately, the compromising leader is not going to be respected. Ultimately, the leader that is not all in his own service to God, where at first the people might think, oh, this is great. You know, we don't have as many responsibilities. My leader is laissez-faire. I can get away with whatever. At the end of the day, that leader is not respected. It's like that teacher that you had in high school. And you went, it's like, wow, this teacher doesn't give any homework. We can talk and get away with everything. Boy, in the moment, you're like, this is a great leader. But over time, you look back and say, that's a contemptible leader. I don't respect that person at all. And that's what God said. That's the view people are going to have of you. I'm going to make sure of it.
You know, what's sad is I'm sure these Levites and these priests thought that the people did respect them. Probably often many of them did. Often people, when they're living in sin and don't realize that they have really made themselves look terrible, that they don't realize the predicament they're in. And I dare say many of these priests don't realize that. And that's why God wants them to realize, hey, wake up, be alert. You need to change your life to get the blessing of God in your life.
So what was it then? Was it that these priests had said, you know, God's law is not even true. We're not going to preach it at all. This service of God is just ridiculous. This whole temple sacrificial system is a waste of time. Is it that they were saying that? Is that how they were steering people wrongly? No, no, no. That would be recognizable. It's recognizable when people deny the word of God. It's recognizable when people do these overt things of rebellion. Now, that's not what they were doing. Watch what they were doing. We'll say this in closing, but look at verse 9 again. What were they guilty of? Well, the Bible says, according as you have not kept my ways, here it is, but you've been partial in the law. So the sin of the leadership, the priest, for which God was so about which God was so upset, was the fact that they were partial in the law.
You know, and God warns them about that so often throughout the Old Testament about not having partiality. But human nature is to have partiality oftentimes. And God says, no, you are my messengers. You're to represent me. I'm not partial. God's not partial. And yet these people now have been partial in the law, and it had done great injustice to justice and a great disservice to the work of God.
And so sometimes we demonstrate that partiality through relationships by treating some people more importantly than others. And James warned about that in James chapter 2. Sometimes we do that with the law itself. We're partial in the law itself in the sense that we make much of certain scripture and make little of other scripture. And I think that the problem here with these priests is they were arbitrarily applying the word of God. What was easy to apply or what they wanted to apply, they made much of. What they perhaps did not want to do or which was cumbersome for them to do, they didn't apply. And I find that so prevalent in modern ministry. We like to be loud about the things that we perceive we're obeying and make those a litmus test for spirituality. And then we like to be silent about the respectable sins that we're engaging in.
Now think about the Pharisees, what Christ talked to them about, how there were certain portions of the law they really emphasized. The things that were external, oh, they emphasized those. That made them look good. But Jesus said, you missed the things that are the most crucial. You know, you've missed on mercy. You've missed judgment. You missed the things that God delights in.
And remember, my friends, when we do that as leaders, God's estimation of that is we've departed from the way. We're causing people to stumble. We're corrupting the covenant. We've made, we're actually eroding our own ultimate influence because God's going to make us contemptible and base in the eyes of other people. You know, when you don't stand for the word of God and stand for what it says, ultimately, that's our authority. Our authority is in what the word says. And if we can't stand there, then we have not only eroded the authority of God in the minds of people, we've also eroded our own authority.
And you're right, Pastor. We have to stand the whole counsel of God, whether it's popularly acceptable or not. You know, culture ought not determine what we do as far as preaching the word of God and not preaching the word of God. We have to preach the whole counsel of God, even if it is counterculture. And the gospel will be counterculture oftentimes because the culture is against God.
For sure. And so again, my friends, a sober reminder and yet a loving reminder, the fact that God loves us enough to point out in our lives those areas that need to be amended. He gives us directions. We're off on some side road, off in some dead-end cul-de-sac. He says, hey, listen, here's the way to get back on the road, get back in the way, serve me the way you ought, serve me the way that I deserve. So I hope you've listened today. I hope you'll make this the application to your own life. And I hope that you'll continue with us in our study of the book of Malachi. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.